You know what they say? Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on. Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep on laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Records available in the foyer.
Always look on the right side of life.
What do you think pays for all this rubbish?
Always look on the right side of life.
I told him. I said to him. Early I said, I'll never make that money back.
Always look on the right side of life.
You're damn tootin'. Look on the bright side of life. I look on the funny side of life, and if this country isn't becoming funnier by the day, and the whole world funnier by the day, I'll kiss your ass. I spent a lot of time laughing. People look at me going down the street. What the hell's that guy laughing about? Well, worse is better. That's what I'm laughing about. Not that I technically, and from the old days, wanted to look better or get worse. But things have gotten so shitty, I can't help but laugh and say, worse is better. And it's getting more and more that way. And the right wing's new white hope, he's one of the funniest ones around. For instance, let me tell you what happened. I was on yesterday's show, but I screwed that up like the pooch. Yesterday I was talking about this, what it was, the Freedom Caucus? The Freedom Caucus of all these so-called conservatives. They're not conservatives at all. There hasn't been a conservative alive on this planet since 1954 or something like that. There hasn't. These are not conservatives. I said, what are they conservative? What in hell have they conserved? Especially the race. They haven't done a damn thing to conserve the white race. And they keep talking about conserving all this stuff. They sure aren't conserving the environment. They're wanting to wreck the environment, you know. One of the reasons I bailed out of where I lived in Indiana was I was surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of acres of agriculture and corn planting and soybeans. And guess what? They're pouring onto that stuff for insecticides. Roundup, one of the most dangerous insecticides around. It's still so-called legal that the world court has determined was bad stuff. Yeah, I was surrounded by hundreds of acres where they're pouring this shit like candy on the crops. And of course, the wind blows and you breathe all that shit in. So I said, I think this stuff's killing me. I'm getting out of here. Yeah. If you're living around where they're pouring that Roundup and that other insecticides on the crops and the land, you better try to get away if you can. Yeah. So anyhow, that's my excuse. That's part of the excuse I bailed out. The other was Christ insanity. God, Midwest Christ insanity up the gazoo everywhere you go. God, million-dollar churches all over the place. And these are working people, mostly, farming people, and they're giving all their money to these damn churches. And every time you go around a corner, there's a new big church. In other words, a synagogue. Just call it a synagogue. You know that's what it is. That's all they preach is Old Testament crap most of the time. And even New Testament crap about the mythical Jesus. And that was driving me absolutely crazy. It drove me crazy when I was a kid. When I was a little kid, my folks forced me to go to Sunday school and church. Half my day was wasted in a synagogue of the Christians, Christian-type synagogue. And I'm telling you, it's enough to gag a maggot. So that's another reason. I mean, I moved into an area, unbelievable. There's almost no churches around here. But don't tell these damn Christian fanatics that, or they'll be building them all over the place. I've only seen about one church since I moved into where I'm at. And that was a small church. I don't mind a small church as long as it don't become a big church. Yeah. This is Terrible Tommy. Yeah, Lone Wolf Radio. And we're at it. Hopefully we'll get a good show out today, finally. It's been a combination of being on the road and a combination of honeydew out here. I've got sort of a fixer-upper situation here, and I've been fixing up. I'm spending half the day fixing up and half the day trying to get all my electronics sorted out and get the weapons of mass destruction all up in a line so people can see them when they drive down the highway, man. Yeah, that's right. Looking over here, and even my Frank Silva Memorial clock is screwed up. I got November the 28th, 2000. What the hell is that? Well, anyhow, I'm going to have to work on that. You know, everything has to be adjusted and worked on and fixed up. I got a toilet to fix up. We got two, but that's all right. The other one's got to be fixed up, so I'm not going to tell you all that stuff I got to fix up, because you know how it goes. If you're moving into an older domain, you got to fix up stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I was talking about Washington and that Freedom Caucus. That's about as much freedom as a man in the moon. Do you know what that's really going on? Do you know why that they resisted so much Trump's program? And I'm not saying yay or nay on Trump's program. I don't want anything to do with any of it. But I'm going to tell you what happened. The Koch brothers, the multi-billionaires that pulled the strings of the right wing from behind the scenes, they went to the Freedom Caucus and said, if you boys will kill that Trump health program, we'll make sure you get all the money you want in the next elections. And you'll have no problem getting money. We'll give it to you all you want. And they said, hell yes. And so that's the real reason why the Freedom Caucus, so-called, all those wonderful conservatives that love mama and apple pie, that's why they voted against the Trump bill. Yeah. And then Trump's out there okaying that pipeline. And you can't be for the environment and support that pipeline. because that pipeline, I told you a long time ago, is coming from inside Canada. They wanted to take the pipeline across to the west and out that way into the Pacific. But the population rose up and said, "No way, asshole, you're not coming across our land." So now they're coming down through the United States right across our aquifer land, our best water that's left, if there is any, after fracking. They're headed on down to the Gulf of Mexico, but it's going to the Koch brothers. Yeah, the Koch brothers are going to handle that. You're not getting a whole bunch of oil for the beleaguered American driver so he can take a vacation. The Koch brothers are handling all that. And what's even worse, one of the brothers you never heard about, probably. I forget his first name. So there's at least three Koch brothers. He's made a deal to take this. There's a dark part, a syrupy part, byproduct of this oil, and it's highly toxic. Actually, it's against the law to sell it in the United States. Well, what does he do? He's bought up the rights to it, and he's selling it to China to kill all the Chinamen. It's unbelievable how rotten and crooked. You people sometimes, I don't think, believe me when I say this system is totally, totally fucked. And there's not much you and I can do about it at the present time. So anyhow, I don't know whether they call that tar sands or that's just where they get the oil from. But then there's this highly toxic poison byproduct, and he's already made. And the Chinese know it. They don't give a shit as long as they can keep their factories going with it. They don't give a shit how many people they lose. In fact, the more they lose, the better they are. So that's another part of this right-wing Koch brothers outfit. And do you ever hear these conservative right-wing anti-communists and stuff talking about that? I don't hear them talking about that. I hear the left talking about it because I have to get half of my information from the left. You know, I'm talking about the more honest left. And there is an honest left that talk about the environment. They're all wet on the race issue, but they're right on a lot of other things. And the right wing is totally bad on the environment. And now Trump wants to get rid of the EPA. All these things that Trump wants to get rid of, these people out there who voted for him and all the right-wing so-called conservatives that voted for him don't realize he's screwing them. He's screwing them, getting rid of the EPA. At any time, if we ever needed the EPA to keep an eye on these bastards that are putting bad food into our grocery stores and so forth, we need them now. He's eliminating a whole bunch of stuff that working people need for protection. If I could take one-third to one-half of what the honest left says and put them together with what we say about race, yes, but race, we'd have something. And also, Trump wants to go out and spend a whole bunch more money on armaments. I think he's wanting to put aircraft carriers and all that. Wants to get over there and bump bellies with that North Korean guy, which he could let go at any time and with regular weapons. He could line up 1,000 cannons across that border and let go at once, and it'd be like an atomic bomb in South Korea. He doesn't have to depend on atomic weapons. And who the hell gave him the ability to make the weapons in the first place? It was the U.S. And I remember George Bush felt sorry for him. No, he don't feel sorry for it. These guys don't feel sorry for anybody. He gave them millions of gallons of kerosene. I remember that. You know, people don't remember shit in this country. You know, a week after it's happened, they've forgotten about it. So Bush said, "Oh yeah, we'll give you all this kerosene if you'll not build a rocket, a pissant rocket that only." I know when I was over in Japan, they fired off one of those rockets that landed in the middle of the Japanese Sea or whatever it was. I was there, And I didn't see the Japanese getting that shook up. They didn't go totally bonkers. But the U.S. is, the War Department's using it to foster more military actions. Yep, they got to have war to keep this system going. This system would collapse overnight if they didn't have wars going on and war production. That's the only thing they're making money off of is military arms that they're shoving into everybody's arms. Every last nigger in Africa has got to have an AK-47 or some kind of a drone or a rocket, you know. Who's giving it to them? They're saying, oh, the poor children of Africa. Who's giving his sons of bitches the weapons to kill each other? We're always, our government, our military-industrial complex are giving them the weapons to kill each other. Now, if you quit selling them weapons and giving them weapons and get Russia to back off giving them weapons and so forth, it'd be pretty peaceful in Africa. You probably could go down there and have a nice vacation. But the way it is, they've got every nigger wanting to kill every nigger, and who's causing it? The military-industrial complex. And then the same people, always, will you send $25 to support a kid, a nigger kid, for a month or a year? You'd be a good Christian if you did that. Boy, I'm telling you, this thing is so screwed that trying to say we're going to solve it, no, the only thing that can solve it is a complete collapse and restart the damn, like a computer. A computer gets so screwed up with problems that you finally have to turn it off and start all over again. Dump everything and start all over again. That's what we need. We need a dump and a reissuance of a program in this country. And it's not going to be democratic. No. If anything good ever happens in this country, it's got to be authoritarian. It's too late for anything else. Way too late. And now you can piss around with the Dukes and those kind of right-wingers that claim to be racist, but you're not going to get anywhere because they think, well, we just vote for the great wild hope. He's going to take care of stuff. I told you way back he wasn't going to take care of stuff. In fact, he's probably going to make it worse. How can he make it worse than Hillary Clinton? I don't know, but he probably could. You may look back, and this is a sad thing for me to say, you may look back and say, maybe Hillary would have been a better choice. Number one, because she's going to fuck it up even worse faster, even than the Great White Hope. What do you think about that? And for those out there who think that Vladimir Putin's a great guy, well, don't ever trust any world leader. You know what? Russia today has some pretty good stuff when they're criticizing what's going on in the United States. But one thing you don't recall or don't remember or don't watch is that Soviet Principle 10 is still in action. The old communist propaganda about race mixing is big on RT. They're talking about how terrible we treat the Negroes every day on RT coming out of Russia. Yeah, all that stuff, and they keep and all kinds of documentaries on how badly we treat the Mexicans and how badly we treat the Negroes. This is the same shit that came out in the 50s and 60s when I was first starting out in the anti-communist movement, when Russia was sending us their Soviet Principle, one of their Soviet Principle 10s, with agents all over the country pushing race mixing and anti-white propaganda. And I knew some of these guys. I told you before. Julia Brown, she'd have been an ex-communist that spoke before a group of mine and told us all about what the Soviets had to do. They knew that race was our Achilles heel, not the economy. Race was our Achilles heel. If they could fuck up the white race, they're going to be able to walk in and take over. But that was way back in the day. Leonard Patterson, he was a longshoreman, great big black guy, must have been 6'3". I met him, he had hands like a baseball mitt. I met him at an anti-communist meeting And he told how they were trained to come into the United, or, well, not come into the United, they were trained and converted over to communism, and then they sent him out in the working class promoting race mixing and interracial sex and all that. They used to, the Communist Party used to push wild race parties and everything else, he said, you know. So they're doing the same thing again, only a little bit more moderate. They're doing it on Russia TV. For all the good stuff that's on there about other things, the bad stuff is pushing race mixing and how bad whitey is and how horrible white racists are and all that kind of stuff, coming right out of Vladimir Putin's studio. Well, if you think you can trust any of these bastards, I don't care whether it's the Great White Hope or Hillary Clinton or any of them, Shermer the Jew, he's something else. That guy, he knows how to twist the tail of the so-called conservatives. He twists the tail all the time. I hate his guts, but he is good at twisting the Republicans' tail. Republicans are no good at infighting. They're no good at all at infighting. If they can't buy it, they don't attack it another way. And so I'm amazed at how cowardly the Republican Party is. They don't deserve to continue as a party. They deserve to be destroyed, and they're destroying themselves, because you got to give it to the Democrats, or the so-called ruling class of the Democrat Party. They know how to raise hell and twist things around and lie and cheat, and they don't give a shit. Well, there's an old story about winning. It's important who wins, and they don't care how they do it as long as they win. Well, might makes right, you know. I have to agree with that. If saving the white race, I believe anything is possible and anything should be used to save the white race, and nothing should be ruled out. And that's sort of the way the Democrats are working, only for a bad cause. That's for a bad cause. Now, if we could get some of those progressive so-called Democrats on the left to work with us on other issues, we'd have something going. But that, I don't think that's ever going to happen, because nobody's smart enough to understand what it takes. I have heard a couple of left-wingers talk about we need to get certain factions together. Well, we could do it, but it's not going to be done, I don't think, because the progressives are so brainwashed. Well, just like the right wing are brainwashed, you know. And most of these racial groups, and you know who they are and the leaders are, they talk more about economics than they do race. All these right-wing shows that sort of skirt the issue of race, they're talking about economics all the time. Well, we want to talk about race first, and then economics will take care of itself, right? That's what I think. One thing I despise is the intellectual racist, the phony intellectual racist. Not people like Revlo P. Oliver, who was an honest racial fighter, the best there ever was. It's too bad we don't have him around. Too bad we don't have anybody around like him. The ones I see that are going talking about intellectualism and race, they don't want to admit they're racist, but they want to talk about race. They want to talk about the culture. They want to talk about all that stuff. And one of them that is interesting to me, among several others, is the guy who wrote the book Camp of the Saints, Jean Raspel, who's a Frenchman, who wrote a good book warning the white race of what's happening. But when he's confronted by a Jew reporter, he's saying, well, I mean, you know, I'm not a racist, and I can't stand those racists, but I wrote a fictional racist book. Well, horse shit. I see that all the time. People on the, they call themselves conservative. They go all out of their way to say, I'm not a racist, but. Well, that's bullshit. And they're the first to condemn you and me because we're common working class people. And they don't like common working class people. they have that, that's like the left, the intellectuals. They hate us too, but the right-wing intellectual, phony racist, or racist who are trying to cover it up, they're worse. And another thing, those kind of people always want to sneak up on the enemy. You got this new young guy, I forget his name right now, he's got an office in Washington now, and they're always trying intellectual ways to fight the enemy. You know, I got to admit, the Bolsheviks didn't use those kind of methods. Castro didn't use those kind of methods. And Sam Houston didn't use those kind of methods. And a lot of other people back then. You're not going to make an omelet without breaking eggs. And whether it's a prolonged guerrilla warfare operation or whether it's some kind of a false frontal attack, that's the only thing that's going to change things. The only thing. So, until that gets started, we can talk about it. You can plan what you think you might want to do. You can pick out your main opponents. But that's what you got to do, because you got no hope of working politically. And you got no hope of working economically. So what's left? What is left? Show you what I mean about Gene Rospel and his book Camp of the Saints, which was an excellent fictional book, which should have been given to every person in the United States and Europe. But it didn't sell as many at first, only under 20,000 in the beginning. In fact, less than that, and mostly bought by right-wingers, including me. But my point is going to be, get my microphone back out here. This is a story of a 1973 French novel that became a reference work for extreme right-wing movements. Did you ever call yourself an extreme right-wing? I don't call myself a right-wing at all, especially an extreme right-wing. Around the World, The Camp of the Saints by Gene Rospel tells of an invasion of invaders and rats into southern France. The book is regularly quoted by Marine Le Pen, another person who I consider sort of a, well, I don't know what I would call her. I know a lot of right-wingers in this country worship the Le Pens. I don't. When she ran for office last time, she was using Muslim people working in her political party, which doesn't sound like much of a racist to me, or a person of culture. Or Steve Bannon, Donald Trump's senior advisor to the White House, who was the main operator on Breitbart News. And Breitbart is dead now, but Bannon took over for him, and they condemn every day of the year white racists. All the time, every time, worse than many leftists. So, it would even have inspired the decree of migratory of American president, of which a new version was published this week. A lot of people are buying it finally in Europe, but it's too late. It's too late to closing the door after the horse is gone. Steve Bannon is a perfect example of these people who consider themselves right-wing intellectuals who are racist. I mean, the left keep calling them racist. Oh, not me. We hate those racial people. Not me. I'm Steve Bannon. I'm just a conservative, I guess, right-winger. I don't know what the hell he is, but now he's right next to the Great White Hope. Yeah. Senior advisor. And yet he will not admit what he is. And the left have him pegged. He's a racist. He's a white racist. And he spends most of his time condemning white racism. That's what I'm talking about, these phony so-called intellectuals. I don't class them as intellectuals at all. In fact, I hate that word because people use it as a cover-up. Like usual, Gene Rospel lives in a cozy building in the 17th our descendant of Paris, large, elegant, dark jacket, fine white mustache. The writer does not turn 92. He warns his memory sometimes betrays him, but it will scarcely fail him. A book is placed on his desk, The Camp of the Saints, the last French edition, an edition that has sold 60,000 copies since 2011, a huge success. Well, it's not a huge success. It could have been if he'd had some way to get it into the hands of everybody in the white world way back, but now it's too late. They're already there. Gene Raspel has just learned that Steve Bannon, Donald Trump's advisor to the White House, often quotes The Camp of the Saints to denounce the risks of uncontrolled immigration. Well, if it had nothing to do with race and culture, what is it, Bannon, for Christ's sake? Thus, these two excerpts of interviews conducted by Bannon on the site ultra-conservative Breitbart, the big issue in Europe is immigration. Well, it's non-white immigration. It's a global problem, a camp of the saints, not a migration. It's an invasion. Of course it is. Non-white invasion, non-Aryan invasion. I call it the camp of the saints, unquote. Okay, now let's see if we can get a little bit more. I hope you get the point here. A lot of these people you idolize on right-wing radio that skirt the issue of race but condemn racists are assholes. I've been putting up with them forever. That's one of the reasons why a lot of the right-wing, at least leadership, hate my guts, because I call a spade a spade. You're either a racist or you're not a racist. You're either a white Aryan racist or you're not a racist. You can't be part way. Gene Raspel is not surprised. I'm not surprised, quote, I know that other presidents have read it, unquote. So what if you read it? If you threw a book at some son of a bitch, you might hurt him. But just reading a book never changed anything unless the people who read the book put it into action. I said that years ago. If you're reading, I have hundreds of books. And at one time I had probably 1,000 books. But I knew I could read it and get all excited, but if I didn't do anything about it, it's just a piece of paper on the shelf. Reagan had read The Camp of the Saints, and that was a waste of time. And in France Mitterrand had reread it. That was a waste of time. These guys are totally under control of the ruling class. They would not do the right thing if they had to. In fact, they did mostly the wrong thing. He explains, the French extreme right also refer to this fire. Here Marine Le Pen in 2015 on Radio Classique also referred to the book, quote, it is a true migratory submersion. What kind of double talk is that? It's a goddamn racial invasion to destroy the white world. I call all those who listen to us to read Gene Raspel's Camp of the Saints, unquote. So what if you read it? You know, hardly any of the guys who fought on the side of Uncle Adolf read Mein Kampf. I mean, only a small fraction of the German people read Mein Kampf, but they sure carried on one hell of a war. The book tells an apocalypse, a million migrants from the Indies, no, not the Indies, from India, land in southern France, to invade the country and destroy Western Christian civilization. Well, Christian civilization, forget that. Christians causing a lot of the problem. You're not going to save yourself by the same poison that's killing you, man. And that's something that none of these guys can accept. Nobody's got the balls to attack religion and Christianity straight on. For some, the Camp of the Saints is a work of racists, says here. We must call The Camp of the Saints by its name, a racist book, unquote. Yes, absolutely it is. But the very people who write books like this will not admit it. They're cowards. I've criticized those kind of people ever since I've been involved, being more of a working class white racist who also reads. I read, but I want to figure out if there's any way I can employ what I read into a true struggle. not just say, well, I wrote a book about these guys invading us, and I'll sit here in my big Paris apartment drinking mint julep and sucking on ice cream. Wrote Daniel Schneiderman, denounced in the columns of Liberation in release of March 7, 2011, called Racist and Racist. In support of his remarks, the journalist explains, among other things, that not a single person in this million Indians is endowed by the novelist with a human face or with a human reactions. Well, if you're at war, that's what you do. You can't make your opposition nice guys. They're trying to kill you. They're trying to take over your land, destroy your territorial imperative. And that's from the books that I count as one of my best education, Territorial Imperative. And I'm trying to remember the author of that right now. I can't. But anyhow, if you haven't read it, you should read it, because it goes down to Mother Nature and how Mother Nature, what she's, Mother Nature says about control of territory. You know, one thing people don't understand, they say man fights for the women. Well, man first does not fight for the women. Man fights for territory. Once he's got the territory and got the area to feed and grow things and develop some power, then he gets all the women he wants. So if anybody tells you that bullshit, that's a Jewish concept. Oh, man's going to get the women first. Well, he doesn't. Fulminates the writer, it's not a manual, it's a novel. Well, A Rose by Any Other Name is still a rose. Why not a manual? It's a novel. There's been a lot of novels written which were blueprints for revolution. But Raspail admits that The Campus Saints could not be published today. Well, of course it could be published. There's people who would publish it. The story goes too far. The writer, however, assumes very right-wing convictions. You see, I think the racist cause is really screwed up by adopting race right-wing convictions. You know, the Klan was working with the socialists back in the 20s, and the populists. Populism and that was what we were working with back then. There were portion of there were portion of them working on the right wing, but almost a majority of them. If you'll read the book, The Ku Klux Klan in the City, you'll see that the Klan was working on the left. You wonder why the Klan was comfortable in the Democrat Party. Well, the old Democrat Party was very comfortable in. Of course, it's totally turned around 180 degrees now. Quote, we have the right to close our borders, and in my opinion, we have a duty to do so, unquote, he said. Yeah, well, we have the duty to kick them out of this country. I don't care how long they've been here. All the blacks that have been here since the beginning got a free ride. Yeah, racially, they got a free ride, not every individual. Is he proud of the Camp of the Saints? Proud? No, he explains. I have been useful because I have taken the body without knowing what it is. It was and will be for a very long time the problem of the Western world. Newspapers. So there's Camp of the Saints, the author, after all these years and all this shit he's seen happen to the Western world and the whites, forget Christianity, and there he's saying he's not proud of the book he wrote. Huh. That just shows us the kind of guys you got. You know, I know another big shot, that Holocaust denier, that's in that bucket too. He would have a big speech about Holocaust denying, but he wouldn't party with the skinheads. He'd get a big fancy hotel and have his girlfriends up there. And I think you know who I mean. I think he's still alive. David Irving. He may have written some good books, but it's not going to change the outcome of World War II. Not at all, David. And to deny who you are, that you're a part of us and the racist cause, It makes you look stupid, and that's why you're losing. And then that stupid thing where Irving challenged that Jewess and went to court and lost his ass, that was stupid. That was stupid. I could have told him that. Okay, here. But the right wing worship guys like that. Well, they would like to feel good about them, but what comes out of it? What comes out of it? Now, you look down in Cuba, what happened? Batista had it all wrapped up and had all kinds of American aid, had all kinds of American weapons. Castro just started up and did it. Came down out of the mountains and kicked ass. Well, whether he's a communist, a capitalist, or a racist, or what, when somebody does something you could sort of admire, you got to say it. You know, you got to admire winners, and we are not winners. Maybe someday when this whole damn empire collapses, we may produce some real winners. Okay, let's see here. I see all the detractors that wrote into this article that was on French radio, actually, and just giving Raspel hell, calling him every name of a white man. Well, why would he not say, hell yes I am, instead of cowering down in the corner of his fancy suite? Now, that's the way these guys are. They are heroes on paper, but cowards in the flesh. Something Revlo P. Oliver wasn't. He was out with it. He was what he was. He didn't deny it or anything else. A real hero in the flesh. Sorry to be crude, but my opinion of all these intellectual racists and book writers is they must sit around and masturbate to their books and stuff like that. Got a big library. Well, I could do that too, but I'm not inclined to operate that way. Now, some people have said, well, why would you move off from that Midwest wonderful spot? There's not a high percentage of blacks and so forth there. Well, let me tell you something. If people's minds aren't right, and if their spirit is not right, and they're not racist to the core inside their heads, then it doesn't make any difference where you live. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference where you live. In fact, you can live among some non-whites, Mexicans and so forth, and you can get along probably a lot better than around white people whose brain is full of rotten crap. Either Christianity or the Republican Party or the Democrat Party or all that stuff. If you're living around people like that and they're all white, it don't make any difference. They're dead. They're dead to the race. So it doesn't really make much difference where you live. You know, Clinton is a good example of what the right wing has produced. And a whole lot of these people, the Republican Party has produced a hell of a lot of people that flipped over and became, well, I'd call them hardcore communists of the old school. Now here's Hillary Clinton's going to speak at the Lincoln Center Women's Summit next week. Like the women need a summit. Yeah, make sure you get your tickets so you can be there. It's called the Women of the World, Women in the World, like the women are separate. A summit on April 6th. So get your tickets. Get on down there and listen to women tell how rotten white men are. Probably going to be more lesbian women there than anywhere at any meeting in the country. Of course, the best way to split men, white men and white women up is do it that way. You know, divide, divide, divide. It's always divide. That's the tactic. The Jew tactic and the communist tactic and Christian religious tactic. Divide the white men and women. Divide, divide, divide. That's the way they do the game. Yeah. Well, I'd like to divide them from their, well, we won't go into that. I guess she's going to be at DNA Info, New York. 810 7th Avenue, New York, New York, 10019. Now, Hillary is a perfect female adaptation of the Manchurian candidate, the female version. Probably more effective than the male versions. She is the lyingest, most phony white woman I've ever seen. I'm telling you, she outdoes her husband, that's for sure. Well, the Great White Hope, President Donald Trump, highlighted the high number of Chicago shootings during a meeting with representatives of the Fraternal Order of Police, a national police union with more than 330,000 members, during the election campaign and at a meeting with police officials Tuesday at the White House. Trump praised the role of law enforcement in keeping America safe. Do you feel safe? If you feel safe, you're foolish. Yeah, if they wanted to solve the problem in Chicago, if they really wanted to solve it, they'd really crack heads and train an elite force of black police officers and send them into the ghetto. And like the old days, a lot of you people don't know how the blacks used to operate, black cops used to operate in the black neighborhoods. They didn't take any shit, and they cracked heads and they shot them if they need to shoot them. But the white cops are afraid. They're afraid. Afraid to go down a dark alley or anything else. These young cops coming on are unbelievable. There's maybe a few of them that are stand out, but not too many. And a lot of them are coming back from the Middle East, and they're getting these jobs as police officers, but they're scared to death to do anything. And so the problem only grows bigger, and unless Trump or the city of Chicago figures out a way to use the black cops against the black people to straighten them out, calm them down, of which most blacks would agree, nothing will change. The whites are afraid to do anything, because no matter what the whites do, they can't do anything right. It's funny, really. It's funny. Cops have the power to do it, and the city fathers of Chicago have the power to do it, but if they try to do it, they're going to get run out of office. That's how bad things are. The stuff about Trump straightening it out and solving the crime problem is just so much pablum. They'll give him a lot of press, but they'll give him a lot of bad press, too, because there are certain people in this country who don't want to solve that problem, the crime problem. Crime is very lucrative. Crime makes lots of money. Crime builds power. The system needs crime. Without crime, what would they do? They'd have to get a job, a real job. Not a police worshiper myself, because I know how rotten police can be and how criminal police can be and how they can cover up their own crimes. So don't come to me expecting me to come out saying, "Oh, I think cops are the wonderful thing there is. Yeah, they're great. They're great. I love them. They're patriotic. They're good Christian boys." Tell you what they're going to do about crime. They're going to study it. They're going to study it. They're going to get a blue ribbon panel to discuss it. Yeah, they're going to spend millions of dollars talking about it and thinking about it, but very little do they do about it because they're scared of their jobs, man. They're making lots of money. Chief of police in Chicago makes a fortune. You got to understand that. Nobody's going to make a false move or a correct move while that's going on. These guys are too well paid. It was a narrative that resonated with law and order advocates after the long August of 2014, when unrest followed the fatal police shooting of criminal Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. The police, vilified and facing a hostile public, were unable to do their jobs, leaving criminals to run amok. It was called the Ferguson effect. Though based on thin evidence and met with fierce rebuttals, the theory keeps coming up. This month, Attorney General Jeff Sessions said some officers were reluctant to get out of their squad cars. Well, if they could get out of their Humvees in the Middle East, these guys that come back and become cops, why would they be afraid to get out of their Humvees in Chicago? That's bullshit. He blamed intense public scrutiny, criticism, and viral videos and targeted killings of police. Well, this has been going on for a long time. I mean, you know, what's new? People used to criticize the cops all the time in the old days. Some cities have even distributed increases in violence, and some officers have reported feeling under siege. Well, poor boy, poor boy. You got the goddamn gun. If you have to do it, you use it. And if they give you shit, resign. Get out of there and become a carpenter. But changes in the crime rate are notoriously difficult to explain. The decades-long decline in crime in the United States has been attributed to factors as desperate as mass incarceration. Well, that's because of your war on drugs. Putting thousands of people in prison who shouldn't belong there. If they want to smoke pot, so what? Smoke pot. They want to take cocaine, it's their health, their body. Let them do it. No, but you wanted a police state, and it may have been your excuse for rounding up blacks, too. Well, if that's the case, say it. Tell the truth. Want these goddamn blacks off the street. They're troublemakers. Reduced exposure to lead paint and even the availability of legal abortions. What's that got to do with it? Here's what we know about the so-called Ferguson effect. In perhaps the most global study, which is probably a screwed-up mess, has come out of the New York Times, David C. Pyrus, a sociologist at the University of Colorado Boulder, and his co-authors looked at crime rates in 81 large American cities in the year after Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown. Why do they call these assholes Mr.? They call them gentleman and Mr. You know that's not what they call them off-camera. Brown's death and found no overall increase. However, in some cities like Baltimore, New Orleans, St. Louis, and Washington, there was a striking upward trend in homicides. Richard Rosenfeld, a Jew criminologist, made similar findings but noted that police activity, as measured by arrests, had begun declining as far back as 2010. Quote, if we're going to attribute higher crime to pullback, we have to explain why we didn't see that earlier, unquote, Mr. Rosenfeld said. Yeah. In St. Louis, whose police chief coined the term the Ferguson effect, homicides had begun to increase before Mr. Brown was killed. Mr. Brown. The Freddie Gray effect. After Mr. Brown's death and the resulting protests at Ferguson, there was clear evidence of a police pullback in two cities. I think that's why the higher-ups were afraid more than the beat cops. The higher-ups were afraid of losing their jobs, like the commanders, the chiefs, Baltimore and Chicago. But in both cities, the reasons are hard to isolate. It's not either. It's niggers and mestizos and some bad apple whites. In Baltimore, arrests for low-level crimes like disorderly conduct, in which officers have significant discretion, declined by a third after Ferguson, but crime did not increase, according to research by Stephen L. Morgan, a sociologist at Johns Hopkins University. Oh, sociologist. He's bright. He's very smart. quote, if there was a Ferguson effect, it was a brief win-win in Baltimore, he said. Whatever the hell that means. Then outrage over police practices hit home with the death of Freddie Gray. Didn't even say Mr. You're in trouble. In April 2015, which was followed by protests and riots, mostly riots, Mr. Gray died of injuries sustained in police custody. Yeah. That happens to a lot of white people, too. You never talk about that. You don't give a shit when it happens to white people. No, even white people don't care. But when one nigger gets a hair on his head messed up, oh, my God, the white people go crazy. Oh, the poor Negro. Arrests in Baltimore dropped precipitously, even for serious crimes, and crime shot up. But other factors were also involved. For months, tensions had been escalating between the police commissioner, Anthony W. Batts, considered a reformer. What do you mean a reformer? The only way to reform is to put the bad people away and leave the good people alone, and don't pick on people just because they're black. And rank and file officers. Arrest numbers began to recover after Mr. Batts was fired and a successor was brought in. You never can make these people happy. You can't make them happy, so why try? Why try? Oh, I'm running out of breath. I think I'll get out of here. I think I'll sit down and have me a iced tea and think about it. I'll be back tomorrow, boys and girls, and I hope you enjoy this show better than you did yesterday's show.